Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Because we had a little bit of a problem again with the audio. Okay? Okay. All right, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you and we love you. Thank you for blessing us each and every day of our lives. A lot of times we don't see your blessings because we don't have eyes to see certain things, but we thank you for those anyway. Because there's, like even with the heart beating and the ability to breathe in and out and all sorts of wonderful things. The scab that forms on the finger when you cut it. There's so many blessings you have given us that we take for granted. So, Father, we thank you for blessing us in ways that we can't even imagine. Thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost with salvation, those that are sick with healing. We lift up Sister LG so that you can bless her employment. And because she's going through a trial right now in regards to her employment. So we pray you keep her safe, keep her family safe, and her finances safe. Thank you for blessing us all in that respect. And for blessing those that help us do this work, we pray you bless them in the way that you promised. And thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with the latter rain, and bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that only your words come forth and only you are glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. We're going to have a few people missing today. Some are worshiping in other home churches in the area. Praise the Lord that there are other churches that, teach as we do. They're extremely scattered. So, and I got a little over, I can't even remember how many it is. There's like 600 and something on the Needs Church map that just in the area. I know they're out of the country, too, and I really wouldn't know how to help the folks out of the country unless we actually had, people that knew they had little home churches that they could go to. But, we do have a lot of people, for example, in Florida. There's a lot of people in that state that are looking for a church that teaches like we do. But the problem with that is Florida's a huge state, and so they could be hundreds and hundreds of miles away from each other. It's not like you could just meet every Sabbath. It'd be nice to do it like maybe every quarter, like every 3 months or so. But still, gas prices and stuff, that has a tendency to tempt people to despair or tempt people to think, I ain't going to be able to handle it. Not trusting the Lord to bless them where they need to be blessed sometimes. Anyway, we are in Ministry of Healing. Chapter 4, I believe, right? Is that? Or chapter 7? Why do I got chapter 4 here? Oh, no, chapter 7, yeah. I don't know why it says Ministry of Healing, chapter 4 on the little type, but the actual page says 4 or 7. Here. Dog can't get his shoe bone. Hold on. All right. All right, chapter 7, the co-working of the divine and the human, page 111, for those of you that actually have the book, Ministry of Healing. In the Ministry of Healing, the physician is to be a co-worker with Christ, the Savior minister to both the soul and the body. The gospel which he taught was a message of spiritual life and of physical restoration. Deliverance from sin and the healing of disease were linked together. The same ministry is committed to the Christian physician. He is to unite with Christ in relieving both the physical and spiritual needs of his fellow men. He is to be to the sick a messenger of mercy, bringing to them a remedy for the diseased body and for the sin-sick soul. This is one of the methods by which we can also get the present truth to people because, like I said so many times before, especially even out here where I'm in the middle of nowhere and, there's some small towns nearby. There's one a couple of miles from here that's, got 400 people in it maybe. You can't. Don't you think the stack, maybe 200? I don't know. It's a small town. It's small. It's got a gas station and a little, well, it's two gas stations, actually. It could be 400, yeah. But you can't throw a stone in any of these small towns without hitting somebody that's got some kind of a disease. It's just amazing how many opportunities we are passing up sometimes. But anyway, continuing, it says, Christ is the true head of the medical profession, the chief physician. He is at the side of every God-fearing practitioner who works to relieve human suffering. While a physician uses nature's remedies for physical disease, he should point his patients to him who can relieve the maladies of both the soul and the body, that which physicians can only aid in doing, Christ accomplishes. Can you hear that noise? Can anybody hear that noise, like that loud chewing noise? But I just thought I'd bring that up because I have this large dog right near the pulpit here, and he's, you can't hear it?
A little.
A little? All right, so we got to do something about him. It's like he's, you know, he's chewing on a chunk of rawhide. And hold on, let's move the dog. Or just take the... Yeah. Okay. All right, where did I leave off? There we go. Okay, that which physicians can only aid in doing, Christ accomplishes. They endeavor to assist nature's work of healing. Christ himself is the healer. The physician seeks to preserve life. Christ imparts life. It's kind of like I mentioned in the prayer, the little, you know, you scratch your finger or whatever and you get a scab. What is the physician, what can the physician do in that respect? Think about this. Give you a little bit of Neosporin or A&D ointment or whatever the case may be. You put it on the finger. Doesn't really do anything for it, just keeps the skin a little pliable. And then you put a Band-Aid on it. I mean, the only reason I can see for a Band-Aid is if it's bleeding a little bit, okay, fine, keep the dirt out. I don't like using Band-Aids. I would just assume let the air get to it because it heals faster. But I guess little kids would need Band-Aids. But that's all they can do. They can just cover it and let, what is what they would say, let nature take its course. When in fact, you are created in a way that your body will heal itself. Continuing. Now, this next section is called The Source of Healing on page 112, I guess. This one here is pretty long, so I doubt we'll get through it today. Anyway, it says, the Savior in his miracles revealed the power that is continually at work in man's behalf to sustain and to heal him. Through the agencies of nature, God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep us alive, to build up and restore us. When any part of the body sustains injury, a healing process is at once begun. Nature's agencies are set at work to restore soundness. But the power working through these agencies is the power of God. All life-giving power is from him. When one recovers from disease, it is God who restores him. Amen to that. Hold on a second. All right.
It's just that the stuff here.
All right, continuing. Sickness, suffering, and death are work of an antagonistic power. Satan is the destroyer. God is the restorer. The words spoken to Israel are true today of those who recover health of body or health of soul. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15, verse 26.
I'm being...
Going on, it says, the desire of God for every human being is expressed in the words, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And, of course, the third book of John, verse 2. It says, he is, Psalm 103, verses 3 and 4 says, forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowdeth thee in, with loving kindness and tender mercies. In other words, she's saying he it is who forgiveth all these things. It is Christ the Lord that does all this. When Christ healeth diseases, he warned many of the afflicted ones, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee, in John 5:14. Thus he taught that they had brought disease upon themselves by transgressing the law of God, and that health could be preserved only by obedience. Now, there are so many people that misunderstand this simple reality here. For example, the blind man that the apostles asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? And he says, who did sin, the man or his parents? And Jesus said that it wasn't neither. Even though it was sin that generated the problem, they didn't know it was sin, of course. If you read it, because I did something on this a while ago in regards to what Sister White had to say about this, and so I'm not just talking off the cuff here, although I am paraphrasing. The fact of the matter is, there was sin involved that generates the problem, the child to be born blind. I mean, that's just common sense. But the fact of the matter is, the people that were involved in the problem, the disease or whatever, weren't aware of the sin. And so it wasn't a punishment, in other words. The situation of the blind man wasn't a punishment on the blind man. All right? Okay, I'm back. Got a little problem going on here, if you can tell. going on, the physician should teach his patients that they are to cooperate with God in the work of restoration. The physician has a continually increasing realization of the fact that disease is the result of sin. He knows that the laws of nature, as truly as the precepts of the Decalogue, are divine, and that only in obedience to them can health be recovered or preserved. He sees many suffering as a result of hurtful practices who might be restored to health if they would do what they might for their own restoration. They need to be taught that every practice which destroys the physical, mental, or spiritual energies is sin, and that health is to be secured through obedience to the laws that God has established for the good of all mankind. When a physician sees a patient suffering from disease caused by improper eating and drinking or other wrong habits, yet neglects to tell him of this, he is doing his fellow being an injury. Drunkards, maniacs, those who are given over to licentiousness, all appeal to the physician to declare clearly and distinctly that suffering results from sin. Those who understand the principles of life should be in earnest in striving to counteract the causes of disease. Seeing the continual conflict with pain, laboring constantly to alleviate suffering, how can the physician hold his peace? Is he benevolent and merciful? Is he benevolent and merciful if he does not teach strict temperance as a remedy of disease or a remedy for disease? Let it be made plain that the way of God's commandments is the way of life. God has established the laws of nature, but his laws are not arbitrary exactions. Exactions. Every thou shalt not, whether in physical or in moral law, implies a promise. If we obey it, blessing will attend our steps. God never forces us to do right, but he seeks to save us from the evil and lead us to the good. Let attention be called to the laws that were taught to Israel. God gave them definite instruction in regard to their habits of life. He made known to them the laws relating to both physical and spiritual well-being, and on condition of obedience, he assured them, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh, Deuteronomy 32, verse 46, and Proverbs 4, 22. And this, you know, it's so sad, though, when you talk to people that are sick, that they just don't get it. They don't, I would want as much information as I possibly can how to get healed if I was sick. And, but some people, they just don't want to hear it. Or the devil will make it, their situations around it to such, because they have been giving him so much leeway in their lives anyway, that they won't see the importance of being in an area where they need to be in regards to getting the information they need to get. Or sermons or Bible studies where, you know, like what's going on today that I'm not going to mention. But the thing is, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are some people that should be here right now that need to hear this, that the devil has prevented from getting here. Going on, God desires us to reach the standard of perfection made possible for us by the gift of Christ. He calls upon us to make our choice on the right side, to connect with heavenly agencies, to adopt principles that will restore in us the divine image. It is written, in his written word, and in the great book of nature, he has revealed of the principles of life. It is our work to obtain a knowledge of these principles, and by obedience to cooperate with him in restoring health to the body as well as to the soul. This might be one of the reasons some of us around, some of your loved ones do get sick. It gets us to investigate, you know, that which is around us. Nature, for example. There's all sorts of natural methods out there that can heal. Whereas with the American Medical Association, of course, they all have the drugs and stuff like that. In emergency situations, it's of course acceptable rather than death. But it's always best to go with the natural method first, because that's what will heal you. The American Medical Association has designed it such a way to keep you as a customer. That's, you know, that's their mode of operandi. You know, that's how they work. But going on, it says, men need to learn that the blessings of obedience in their fullness can be theirs only as they receive the grace of Christ. It is his grace that gives man power to obey the laws of God. It is this that enables him to break the bondage of evil habit. This is the only power that can make him and keep him steadfast in the right path. When the gospel is received in its purity and power, it is a cure for the maladies that originated in sin. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Not all this world bestows can heal a broken heart or impart peace of mind, or remove care or banish disease. Fame, genius, talent, all are powerless to gladden the sorrowful heart, to restore the wasted life. And we can attest to this day in and day out with the stories that you see in the media of the extremely rich committing suicide, or extremely rich getting sick, or the extremely intelligent getting sick, or whatever the case may be. You walk outside the will of God. I don't care if you're, you know, the richest man on earth and the most intelligent man on earth. You are nothing without him, because he's the one that blesses you with the intelligence and whatnot. You may think that you have studied this and studied that, but where did the information come in the first place? All the theologians on the earth, all the professors of whatever, you know, whatever topic they are professors of, makes no difference. It's not just biblical, you know, theologians or scholars. You got mathematicians, you got scientists, you got all sorts of professors out there that are only blessed with the information they have is because of what God spoke first. He's the ultimate in science. He's the one that created science, and using science to create all that he has created. And science has recently been proving a lot of that too. I mean, they're still just chipping away at all the truth that there is to offer. That's why when we get to heaven, we'll be studying the Word of God for, you know, trillions of years, of course, because of the way the truth is so been immense. It's just so deep. But it just amazes me how some will have it, the alphabet soup after their name, and then, you know, with all their degrees and whatnot, and they can't even get peace of mind. They can't get happiness. It's just like what I like to call the greatest miracle. How do you explain that? You can be a genius, you can be a billionaire, and you can't do anything to change the heart or the mind of yourself, let alone someone that you love. That miracle of finding Christ and having the new creature created in Christ has got to be the most amazing thing that I've ever witnessed in my life, of how the way it changes a person. Going on, it says, the life of God in the soul is man's only hope. The love which Christ diffuses through the whole being is a vitalizing power. Every vital part, the brain, the heart, the nerves, it touches with healing. By it, the highest energies of the being are roused to activity. It frees the soul from the guilt and sorrow, the anxiety and care that crush the life forces. With it comes serenity and composure. It implants in the soul joy that nothing earthly can destroy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, health-giving, life-giving joy. Our Savior's words, come unto me, and I will give you rest, Matthew 11, verse 28, are a prescription for the healing of physical, mental, spiritual ills. Though men have brought suffering upon themselves by their own wrongdoing, he regards them with pity. In him they may find help. He will do great things for those who trust in him. Although for ages sin has been strengthening its hold on the human race, although through falsehood and artifice, Satan has cast the black shadow of his interpretation upon the Word of God, and has caused men to doubt his goodness. Yet the Father's mercy and love have not ceased to flow earthward in rich currents. If human beings would open the windows of the soul heavenward in the creation of the divine gifts, a flood of healing virtue would pour in. It's amazing how much he has to give us if we just receive it. And everybody says, well, faith has a lot to do with it. Well, yeah, of course, faith has a lot to do with it, but quit stopping your own faith. You know, quit putting boundaries around or putting your God in a box, saying that he can't do this or he can't do that for me, whatever the case may be. It's so sad about how people prevent God by their own sin, I guess you could put it, you know, regardless of how big or small it is, sin is sin. And just trust them, 100%. We all need help in this area, me included. I'm not accepting anybody from this, as should be, because none of us are walking on water that I know of yet. And this is what we strive to be. We strive to be able to glorify the Lord in such a way. Not so that we get the glory upon ourselves as, oh, look at that guy walking on the water. Oh, how holy is he. No, then you got your reward. If that's what you're seeking, then that's what you'll get. Men slapping you on the back saying, oh, yeah, you know, you're the greatest that ever lived. You know, kind of like what the Pharisees did in the old, or like what they do today. When what they call a man of God dies, they have these old fancy schmancy funerals, and they praise him for weeks on end, and videos, and make movies about his life, and it's like, come on, you know. But anyway, continuing. The physician who desires to be an acceptable co-worker with Christ will strive to become efficient in every feature of his work. He will study diligently that he may be well qualified for the responsibilities of his profession, and will constantly endeavor to reach a higher standard, seeking for increased knowledge, greater skill, and deeper discernment. And that is important to us, even as Christians, of course, especially in the area of discernment, because we have to be able to understand the Lord's will in every aspect of life. We've got to get such a connection with him that we can be like David in the caves praying and asking the Lord, which way would you have me go? Because if you choose the wrong way, or if David would have chosen the wrong way, he would have gone right into the clutches of Saul. And pretty soon, we're all going to be a bunch of Davids, running around when we can't buy and sell, or when they put the death sentence on us, and we are part of the Gideon band, and we're going to be out there on our own. And if you're driving down a road and your discernment is such that you're feeling that you should hang a right, when the Lord is bluntly telling you, no, hang a left, because if you hang a right, there's a roadblock a couple of miles down the road that you're not going to be able to get away from. But if you hang a left, you'll be able to avoid that roadblock, because you're not going to be able to block all the roads. Okay, that's just going to be humanly impossible. They're not going to be able to block them all. And our Lord will prevent them from blocking them all as well. He will protect his own. There are many of us that will be in the caves. There'll be many of us that will be out in the mountains, and, you know, and he'll bring us bread and water. But if you have disbelief in any way, shape, or form, why should he bother? If you don't believe him, then you don't believe him. That's your choice. You won't get what you want because you just don't believe he's bringing it. But going on, it says, every physician should realize that he does weak, inefficient work, is not only doing injury to the sick. Well, let me reread that. Every physician should realize that he who does weak, inefficient work is not only doing injury to the sick, but is also doing injustice to his fellow physicians. The physician who is satisfied with a low standard of skill and knowledge not only belittles the medical profession, but dishonors, but does dishonor to Christ, the chief physician. Those who find that they are unfitted for medical work should choose some other employment. And we know some doctors out there that aren't called to be doctors. They do it because they want the status, or lawyers even. Well, I have a problem with lawyers altogether in certain aspects of their, not all lawyers though, because there are some honest men and women out there. But with what you see on the TV, the grand majority that you see on the TV, that's all they're, you know, like you used to call in the old days, ambulance chasers. And it's so sad. They're seeking to make money on your accident, which gets the mindset, at least in America that I know, the mindset of the American people now is nothing's an accident anymore. You know, you get in a car accident, you're going to sue the guy that hit you. You know, nothing's an accident anymore. And like I can remember when I was a teenager, if there was, you know, God forbid, an accident where a young child or someone died out of a mishap, well, they chalked it up to an accident. And everybody went home, grieving, of course, but they all went home. Today, if there's an accident and there's a death involved in the accident, the person that caused the accident goes to jail. You know, it could be some cute little kid that causes the accident, no big deal, you know. And I won't say not real little, let's just say he's 18 years old and he's small for his age, you know, and he ends up in this hardcore prison now. How long do you think it'll last in there? But that's the way today's society is designed, with, you know, do unto others before they do unto you kind of a thing. This is the life we have to live. This is, you know, this is the reality we have to live, actually. What we do with that reality is makes all the difference, how we walk with Christ, how we reflect him. All right, let me finish up this page. Those who are well adapted to care for the sick, but whose education and medical qualifications are limited, who do well to take up the humbler parts of the work, ministering faithfully as nurses, by patient service under skillful physicians, they may be constantly learning, and by improving every opportunity to acquire knowledge, they may in time become fully qualified for the work of a physician. See, that happens all the time in today's world. People want, like I know guys that they're not even ordained, but they call themselves pastor. And you can tell by their message and even by their health, they're not called to be in standing before the people proclaiming the present truth. They're sending out a mixed message. First of all, they don't understand the Word of God the way they should to stand in that position. And second of all, they're putting out a message that the health message means nothing. And they shouldn't stand that because they're confusing the people. And so other souls get affected by this. But if they were to step down and do ministerial work and help men of God that have been called to be in those positions, then they'll grow. You know, a lot of times people don't realize that the Lord is calling them to do something that he will blossom like crazy. I mean, you can't even imagine how much a lower position in life can bless you, that all of a sudden it's just like, wow, I should have been doing this. So, you know, the happiness is there, the peace is there, everything that you require in life is going to be there. But if you decide, oh, I want to go on this path because I want this authority, I want to be looked up to, well, then you're going to have a big old struggle for the rest of your life. And yes, even if you are called to be in higher positions, you're still going to have a struggle, but with the peace of Christ, it's no big deal because you trust him. You expect the struggles. You expect the attacks. You expect the hatred. And the problems, and you don't let it get to you. finishing it up, let the younger physicians, as workers together with him, the chief physician, receive not the grace of God in vain, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry of the sick, that is, be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. I pray you were blessed. We'll be right back.